Well, if you have been with us for the last few Sunday nights, we began a series a few weeks back that we've called The Believer's Walk. What we're talking about is what it really means to have a walk with the Lord. That's one of those Christianese statements that is often used, but oftentimes not very well understood. We call it a walk with the Lord, but what does that really mean? Oftentimes a person who might ask us, how is your walk with the Lord, will respond fine or will respond good or great, but we might not really understand what a good walk with the Lord actually looks like. And you might be surprised that there are many things that are said in Scripture that describe what our walk with the Lord should actually be like. And so that's what we have begun looking at, is what does it mean to have a walk with the Lord? If we were to capsulize it, we could really break it down to two elements that make up a walk with the Lord. In one sense, our walk with the Lord is describing the relationship that we have with God. There's a verse in Amos chapter 3, verse 3 that says, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" So there's this sense that a walk has an aspect of agreement with it, that the two that are walking together are going in the same direction and are of the same mind. But to tell you the truth, there was a time in each of our lives that we did not have the same mind that God had. God was saying, you need to walk in this direction. But our desire was to walk in our own way. We wanted to go in our own direction. And many of us, maybe for much of our lives, did exactly that. God saying, go this way, and we went the exact opposite way, doing our own thing. And for many of us, that life crashed and burned, and we came to the place of realizing, you know what, God was right in the first place. And the day that we received Christ, we lined ourselves up with the Lord, we agreed with him, God, your way is the best, I want to follow after Christ, and that's when our relationship with God began. But there's a second element that is key to our walk with the Lord. Not only is it describing our relationship with him, it is also describing the manner in which we ought to be living our life. It ought to be a life that is characterized by obedience. Now that I've chosen to have a relationship with God, I want to now walk in that way, obeying the commands of the Lord. Now, in our last study, which was a couple weeks ago, last week we had off for Father's Day, 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the idea of walking by faith. Now, this had a few different things to teach us. What does it really mean to walk by faith? Well, in one sense, we need to understand that it is a specific faith. It's not just believing whatever it is that you want to believe. It is specific in that it is believing on what God has said and deciding that you're going to walk in God's way, not do things your own way. It is also an intelligent faith. Many accuse Christianity as being a blind faith, as if we are simply believing in spite of the evidence or in spite of what science has to say. But in reality, the Christian faith is an intelligent faith. It is not a blind faith. It is based upon sound reason and logic and the truth that God has revealed to us in his word. And not only are we to walk in faith by believing in God, believing that God exists. But the scripture tells us that we are also to believe God. And that is different than believing in God. Believing in God is simply believing that there is a God who created the heavens and the earth, and we are his creatures. But true walking in faith doesn't just believe that God is, it believes what God says. And when God says, I want you to live like this, we live like that. When God says, I want you to obey my son, we obey his son. When God says salvation comes through Christ alone and his sacrificial death on the cross, we say, yes, Lord, I believe that and I will walk in that type of faith. Well, tonight we're going to take a look at a different element of our faith and our faith walk, excuse me, and that is that we are to walk in the light. And we get a glimpse of that here in 1 John chapter 1. If you'll follow along with me, we're just going to read from verse 5 through verse 7. This is what John says. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this might not be a surprise to you, but throughout Scripture, the concepts of light and darkness are contrasted often. There are many passages in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that will give us that contrast between what light looks like and what darkness looks like, and what light is and what darkness is. And in reality, Scripture uses it often as a metaphor, that both light and darkness are used as metaphors, and they are opposite metaphors. What that means is if we can understand what Scripture says about light, we will know what Scripture means about darkness, because darkness is the antithesis, the opposite of what light is. So here in this passage, we get a little description of God being light, and it's going to give us a little insight on what Scripture is describing when it talks about us walking in the light. In verse 5, it tells us that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So when Scripture tells us that God is light, what is it actually getting across to us? What is it trying to communicate? Well, I'm going to bring out two aspects of God being light that is important for us to understand, because this really gives us the understanding of what darkness is as well. Gives us the understanding of what it means for us to walk in the light. So when the Bible tells us that God is light, what is it telling us about God? First, we need to understand this, is that God is truth. That if God is light, it is talking about the fact that the metaphor is that light is knowledge and is truth, that God is the truth. Light reveals the truth. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 that says this, "But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible." And we're all acquainted with in Psalm 119, verse 105, where the psalmist said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What are these verses getting across to us? It's telling us that light reveals something to us. It reveals actually the truth. It is making something known that we wouldn't otherwise know if the light was not there. You all probably remember the story back in the book of Genesis when Jacob had a love for a young woman by the name of Rachel. So badly did he want to marry Rachel that he went to her father and said, I love your daughter, I want to have her as my wife. And Rachel's father, Laban, said, okay, I'll make you a deal. You work for me for 7 years, and at the end of the 7 years, you can have my daughter as your wife. So Jacob worked for 7 years in order to gain his bride, and all those 7 years, he's fallen more and more in love with Rachel. When the 7 years was up, he went to Laban and said, okay, I did what you told me to do. Now can I have my bride? So they set up a whole wedding ceremony. The wedding took place. That night, Jacob went into the tent with his bride. The next morning, he woke up. But the woman laying next to him was not Rachel. It was Rachel's sister, Leah. And Jacob went ballistic. And we think of a story like that, and we're thinking, how could that possibly happen? How could it be even possible that a guy could marry a woman who was not the woman he intended to marry? Stay with her that night, and then wake up in the morning realizing he was with the wrong person. That doesn't make any sense to us until we realize, you know, the way that they would have done weddings during that time. During the wedding, she would have worn a veil the entire time, so he would have never seen her face. And under the cover of darkness, they would have gone into the tent. So in all reality, he would not have even seen his bride until the next day. In reality, had he had light, he would have seen the truth. But because there was no light, he didn't see what was actually there. You see, light reveals to us the truth. And when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," in John chapter 8, verse 12, he was basically telling us, I've come to reveal the truth. I've come to reveal the truth to mankind about their sinful state and their need for a Savior. I've come to reveal to mankind the truth about who God is and what God desires for mankind. I've come to reveal God's plan of salvation and become that plan of salvation. Jesus came to reveal the truth. So when the Bible says that God is light, in one sense it is saying that God is the truth. And he reveals the truth. He makes known what is true. The second element, what is being given across to us when it says that God is light, is that God is right, or God is righteous, and that he is pure. Where the first part speaks about light being the intellectual side, that it reveals truth, the second part is the moral side, that light reveals righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, light and darkness are compared in this way. Light is righteous, darkness is lawlessness. Light is righteous, darkness is lawlessness. So here in 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5, when it says God is light, it goes on and says, and in him is no darkness at all. There is no sin in God. There is no unrighteousness in God. God thinks what is right. God says what is right. God does what is right. So when the Bible talks and uses the term light as a metaphor, it is speaking of it in those two ways. Intellectually, it is speaking of truth. Morally, it is speaking of purity or righteousness. What that tells us then, too, is that darkness is the complete opposite of that in these same two aspects. So if light is knowledge and truth, darkness in all reality is ignorance and it is a lie. Jesus in John chapter 12 said, he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. So essentially it's describing a person who is walking in ignorance. They don't really know what is going on. They're in an unfamiliar space because they're blinded by that darkness. Now we can relate to this because if you've ever walked into an unfamiliar room, a dark room, and didn't even know where the light switch is, that can become a precarious, room to walk through. You don't know where the furniture is. You don't know what you're going to trip over. You don't know if there's a step down or anything like that. In fact, some of us have probably realized that God created shins in order to find furniture in the dark. Because when you are in a dark room that you're not familiar with, you don't know how to get from one side of that room to the other. Because the darkness leaves us in ignorance. That's really what is being described here. Not only is darkness ignorance, but darkness is also evil. If light is righteousness, then the darkness is evil. In John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, we know that he shared with him about the importance of being born again, went on to speak the most famous verse probably in all of Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But did you know what follows that? Jesus would go on and say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, for he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. What condemns mankind? This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because, can anybody finish that? Because their deeds were evil. You see, mankind, for the most part, they run from the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. It's either out of shame or it's out of desire to continue in that darkness. Light is truth and righteousness. Darkness is ignorance and evil. You know, the Bible tells us that the whole world is in darkness, and it's not hard for us to see that in our society today. We are surrounded by darkness. We are surrounded by ignorance of who God is and all of what God has done for mankind. We are surrounded by evil in many ways that it manifests itself here in the world. Why is it that we live in such a dark place? I'll tell you, it's because God came to reveal the truth, but mankind decided that they wanted to live in ignorance rather than to walk in the truth. God came to reveal righteousness, what it meant to live a righteous life, but mankind decided what they wanted to do was live a sinful life instead. And because of that, our world has become very dark. But I want to share something with you because I think the condition is even worse than that. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll join me over there, just flip a little bit to the left to find Ephesians chapter 5. We can understand pretty easily that we're living in dark times. But in Ephesians chapter 5, if I can find my place here, the Apostle Paul describes the condition as being even worse than that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We can understand that we live in a dark time, and there is a lot of darkness that is going on in the world. But there is something that this verse says that goes beyond that. It doesn't say, and we were in darkness. It says, and we were darkness. You see, when we understand the idea that we are in darkness, it gives the insinuation that we are surrounded by darkness. There's a lot of darkness around us. There's dark things that are in this world, but that's not what this verse is telling us. It's not saying that you are in the midst of darkness, you are surrounded by darkness. It says you are darkness, that the darkness was inside. You see, our problem is not just that we live in an immoral society, is that immorality was in us. It's not just that we see a lot of evil that is taking place in the world. The scripture is actually telling us here that evil was in us, the desire to satisfy ourselves, to walk in our own way, to not do things God's way, to disregard his commands, and to live as we please. So what Paul is describing really is the condition that any non-believer is in, is that not only are they in darkness, but they are darkness themselves. The problem is not just around us, the problem is actually in us. You know, we use the old adage, wherever you go, there you are. And sometimes people decide they want to leave where they are to go to a new location, thinking that new location in a new environment, they're going to have a restart. They're going to be able to do things over, you know, a fresh start. But in all reality, when you move from this place to that new place, you're taking yourself. And most of the issues that we have are in us, not around us, is what the scripture is saying. We do live in a dark world, but in reality, we are part of that darkness if we are separated from Christ. And if you're a person that has never given your life to the Lord, I want you to understand something about this, and that is that without Christ, you are living in darkness, and that darkness is in you. And because of that darkness, you are separated from the Lord. You don't have a relationship with God. Maybe right now you find yourself groping around in the darkness, just trying to make your way in life, trying to find some sense of peace or some sense of happiness or some sense of purpose and joy, and you're not finding it anywhere because you're looking for it in every other place other than where it can actually be found. And so it is with anybody that does not have a relationship with the Lord, is they're groping around in this world as if they are in a dark room and they have no idea where to go or where the exit is or where they can find peace and safety. That is not what this verse is saying about the believer, though. Notice what Paul says again, verse 8. For you were darkness. Were is past tense. And if you are a Christian today, he is not describing what you are now. He is describing what you were before you found Christ. There was a time in your life when you were darkness. But that is no longer your state. He writes it in past tense, meaning that today you find yourself in the light. How did that happen? In 1 Peter 2:9, we're told that Jesus called us out of darkness. And in Colossians 1:13, it says he delivered us from the power of darkness. So the day that you gave your life to Christ, the Lord snatched you out of that dark place where not only were you surrounded by a dark world, that darkness was in you, he pulled you out of that place, put you in himself, filling you with the light of his love and his grace and his peace and his joy, giving you eternal life. You were darkness, but for the believer, he's describing past tense. What it goes on to say next is, now you are light in the Lord. If you have given your life to Christ, there was a time that you were lost in the darkness. Today, he has planted you in the light. And now, as the verse continues, he says, then walk as children of light. So then how do we do that? How do we walk as children of light? What should we gain from his command that we should walk as children from light? Well, we just go right back to what it means scripturally, metaphorically, to be light. And if we're to walk in the light, it's still going to pertain to those two aspects. One is truth. The other is righteousness. Let's break this down a little bit and first talk about what it means to walk in the truth. It means to be guided by God's word. Again, in Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In John chapter 17, Jesus was giving his high priestly prayer. In verse 17, he proclaims, your word, speaking to his Father in heaven, your word is truth. You see, the word of God is the light of God's truth. So to walk in the light, the first aspect is that we would walk in the truth of God's word. Several years ago, I was with a group of friends, and we had been invited to go out to some lava caves that is out towards Joshua Tree National Park. I don't remember exactly where the spot was, but it was off the freeway, and we drove on some dirt roads for a little while until we got to the spot. And there, amongst these lava hills, were these underground caves in those lava rocks. Now, we were equipped with helmets, and each of these helmets had a light, a spotlight in the front of the helmet. So as we went into these caves, we could see where we were going. It was very clear. When you get, 15 people down there in that cave, each with their own light, it was not difficult to see where you should step down, where you should step up, where you should duck, where you should turn to the left or to the right in order to avoid, running into a wall or cracking your head on low rock. But when we got far back into one of these caves, our leader had us sit down, and we did a little bit of a devotion there. And then he said, right now, I want you guys all to reach up to your light. I want you to click it off. And we did. And as soon as that last light went out, it was pitch black. I don't know if you've ever been in just utter darkness, but it's kind of freaky, I will tell you. I mean, you can go in to a dark room of your house, but chances are there's going to be a little bit of light coming from somewhere. Maybe you've got a clock radio, that's, blinking, 12 o'clock, there on your nightstand, but it's giving a little bit of light. Maybe there is, a street light that is outside your bedroom window that is at least even through your blinds, maybe leaking in a little bit of light into that room. But it's not very often that we would be in a place that there's just absolutely no light at all. But that's where we found ourselves. We were so far back in the cave that when all the lights were off, we could wave our hand right in front of our face and not see anything at all. It was not long before some of our group started really kind of freaking out. 30 seconds into it, they said, okay, we get it, but can we turn the lights back on? But so it is when there is no light, there is no truth. And if we had somehow lost all light that deep in the cave, we'd probably still be in that cave. We wouldn't have been able to find our way out. And if there had been just one person that had a light, The whole group of us would have huddled around that one person because they were our only safety. They were the only one, because of their light, were going to reveal to us the truth that was in that cave so that we could see the way out, where we could walk without running into a wall, or where we ought to duck, or where we ought to step down. You see, God's word is like that light to our lives. We're living in a world full of ignorance. We're told a lot of things that are just simply lies. We're told a lot of things that is spouted off as truth and the way, when in all reality, God's word is telling us something completely different. And when people walk in the way that the world points, it ends with tragedy. Lives are lost. Lives are crushed to despair. People find nothing but ruin. But when you choose to walk in the light as he is in the light, God's word lights your path. You can see where you're to go. Not only that, it's going to save you from a lot of tragedy. See, when the light is shining, you see an issue where you wouldn't have seen it in the dark. Several years ago, I was serving at another church, and on one side of the church, there on the exterior of the building, there were no lights. So at night, it was just completely dark on that side of the church building. Well, I was there at church one night and had actually to walk around that side of the building for one reason or another. And as I turned the corner and went from the area where it was light and got to where I could not see anything, I just continued to walk because it was a familiar path. I knew the path. I'd walked it many times in the light. I figured I can do this in the dark as well. But as I was walking, suddenly I took a step and I felt a spider web wrap around my face. And I kid you not, it was the feeling of a spider about the size of a mouse crawl up my face and then into my hair. I don't know how to break dance, but I tell you what, I was break dancing right then and there. I freaked out. He went up into my hair, and then I lost track of him, which is even worse. And I just started, you know, shaking and grooving and running just to get away. But I tell you what, who in their right mind, if they saw the spider web, is going to, I think I want to plant my face right there in the middle of that web. Nobody does that. You do that when you don't see, when you don't know the truth. But when you see the truth, you say, you know what, I don't think I want to walk that way. You see, the more you spend time in the Word of God, the more he illuminates the truth to you, so that you can clearly see when the rest of the world is saying, hey, let's walk this way, you can say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to walk that way. I can see, based upon what God has revealed to me through his word, that is not a good way. That's choosing to walk in the light. You're turning away from the darkness, you're choosing to walk in the light. Second element, though, is that we are to walk in holiness. If not only we are to walk in the truth, we are to walk in the righteousness of God, which means we're to live holy lives. 1 Peter 1:16 tells us, be holy, for I am holy. Because God is in the light, and he has established what righteousness is for us, we are to walk in that righteousness. He has called us to live a life of righteousness. But to be honest with you, this is where oftentimes we as Christians stumble. It's not that we don't know what the right way is. We know what it is because God has revealed that to us. The struggle that we often have is actually choosing on a daily basis to walk in that way. Because every day we are set with so many opportunities to make a choice between light and darkness. Every day we have opportunities to choose whether we're going to do what God would have us to do or simply do what we're feeling like doing at that particular time. We spend every day having these opportunities to choose between light and darkness, daily decisions. Do I decide that I'm going to have my daily devotions today, spend a little bit of time in prayer and in the Word of God, or should I watch another sitcom, another half an hour of dribble? When I'm having a problem with somebody at work, should I return the evil that they've been dishing out my way, or should I return good for evil like the Scripture tells me to do? And all day long, we are put in these scenarios where we get a choice to make. Should I choose to walk a step in darkness at this time, or should I walk a step in the light? It is choosing to either walk in righteousness or unrighteousness. And I will tell you this, it's not, you know, a few big decisions. It's a thousand little decisions that we make every day that determines whether we're walking in the light or whether we're walking in darkness. You know, I drive a truck. When I first got this truck, it wasn't a brand new truck, but it was a clean truck. I bought it from a guy who was totally OCD, and I appreciated that because this truck was spotless. There were no dents, there were no dings, and though it was a 10-year-old truck, it was pristine. And I vowed I was going to keep it that way. This truck was going to be clean. And in the beginning, that's what I did. Nearly every day, I was going out there. At the end of the day, you know, just have a dust rag, you know, just wipe the dust off the hood and, you know, make sure it stayed clean, you know. You know, don't let people eat in my car, you know. I'm going to keep it really nice. But after a while, that started to slip a little bit, you know. I drop a few French fries, you know, that fell underneath the seat. I got tired of, you know, wiping down the truck every day. And after a while, it didn't look so great. Now, if I had just done a little bit every day, just a little bit of cleanup here, you know, just throw that trash or that wrapper away there, you know, it would have stayed pretty much clean most of the time. But when you don't even do those little things over a period of a few weeks or a few months, it turns into a dumpster on four wheels, which is exactly what began to happen. And then I would have these spurts where I'd say, okay, I want my truck clean again. So I spend 4 hours, you know, cleaning the inside and the outside, putting a little bit of wax on there, making sure, you know, the wheels were all clean, get it all nice. But then I wouldn't maintain it, and it would go right back to the way that it was. But, you know, some of us are living our Christian life like that. We want to live a holy life, a righteous life. But to do that, it means every day we're making 1,000 right decisions to walk in the light and not in the darkness. And when we don't do that, it's only a matter of time before our lives are full of dark clutter. And then we go through these spurts of repentance. Okay, I'm going to rededicate my life to the Lord. I'm going to get right, and now it's going to stick. Which is awesome because God will forgive you, and He restores you, and He accepts you as a son or as daughter. But if that is not followed by daily choosing the light over the darkness, choosing to walk in righteousness and not in our own path, it's only a matter of time before we find our walk with the Lord has gotten very cluttered. To walk in the light means we are listening to God's truth, and then we are applying God's truth by living righteously. Now, like I said, we are living in a pretty dark world. My wife and I the other night were watching the news, and it just seemed like one story after another story after another story was about this murder and that trial and that bombing and some other sad story or crime being committed. And it just went on and on. It was like it became a game for us. Okay, let's wait and see how long it takes before something good is said about what's going on in the world. We watched for a pretty long time. We're living in a very dark time. It's full of violence. Not only violence, but despair. People that are in darkness oftentimes don't know where the light is. So they continue on groping in the darkness, trying to find some sense of purpose or fulfillment in their life. But instead of finding it, what they end up in is depression and despair. I read recently that the suicide rate right now is greater than it's been in the last 30 years, because people are in a place of despair. They don't see any reason or rhyme for what life has to offer them. But we have that light. God is that light. And in Him is no darkness at all. And he not only has pulled us out of that dark pit and planted us in the light of His love, but now He has called us to be the light of the world, to walk as children of light. Here's often, though, the problem. The darker the world gets, oftentimes the dimmer the church gets. Though Jesus has called us to be the light of the world, rather than shining bright, our light begins to grow dim. We are the light of the world. But in a room that is fairly well lit, you can see the light, but it's not that bright. It doesn't really stand out that much because the room is full of light. But guys, we're not living in a light world. We're living in a dark world. And the darker the world gets, the more we as Christians should be standing out. The darker this room gets, the more our eyes are going to be drawn to the light. Because where before it didn't really stand out, now it's standing out quite a bit. Now, if we live in a dark world and it's only getting darker, that means every Christian ought to be standing out more and more. But unfortunately, that's not always what does happen. I think what happens is that we know that the world is getting darker. And we assume that as long as we are a bit brighter than the world is, then we're in a good place. But see, being the light of the world isn't in comparison to the darkness of the world. We're told in 1 John 1, what we just read, is that God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. You see, He doesn't compare us, our brightness, to the darkness of the world. He says that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. The comparison is to the Lord and not to the world. So when we're called to walk in the light, it's not be a little bit brighter than the world is. It's be the light like the Lord is. And when it comes to walking in the light, each one of us is going to fall into one of four categories. There are some of us that are walking in the light as He is in the light. And He says there in 1 John 1:7, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship with God, and the blood of Christ cleanses you from all sin. There's another category, though. There are those that are in the light, but they hide that light. Jesus talked about them in Matthew chapter 5 when He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand so that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light, therefore, shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." See, we as believers, we are the light of the world, but we have the capacity to hide that light, to shield it. Jesus said, that's not what you're to do. So there are those that walk in the light. There are those that are in the light, but they hide that light. There's a third category, talked again about here in 1 John 1. Those that say that they have fellowship with him, and they walk in darkness. In other words, verbally they say, yeah, I know the Lord. I'm walking with the Lord. But John said, if you say that, but you're walking in darkness, in other words, your lifestyle doesn't reflect your statement. He says, you're a liar and you do not practice the truth. Then the fourth category are those that are in darkness, and they know they're in darkness. You're either walking in the light, hiding the light, saying you're in the light, but you're walking in darkness, or you're absolutely in the darkness. If you are walking in the light, I want to encourage you, you just keep pressing on. You might not be doing it perfectly. Every decision might not be a step into the light. We stumble and fall, but God is gracious. He picks us back up. I would just encourage you, you continue to walk in the light. If you're hiding that light, I want to encourage you, put it back on the lampstand. Be a city on a hill. The Lord wants us to live in such a way where our good works are seen, not so that we get the praise, but so that they glorify our Father who is in heaven. If you're a person who has been saying that you walk in the light, but in all reality, your lifestyle is saying something very different, you need to ask yourself, am I just saying the right thing? Am I fooling myself into thinking that I'm saved when actually I'm not? And then maybe you're in here and you know that you're not. We're going to wrap up right now, but I want to give an opportunity for anybody here that might be in one of those two last categories. Maybe you thought you were in the light, but when you look at your lifestyle, you realize, you know what, I sure don't walk right. Maybe tonight you need to fully give your life over to the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you know you're in darkness. You know that you're not walking as you should. But God is opening up your eyes tonight to your need for Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to receive him tonight. Let's pray.